Welcome back to Dad Space, you know, that podcast for dads by dads. We got a couple dads hanging out here talking about money today on Dad Space. And, oh, that's an interesting topic for everyone, how we can be a good example to our kids and our family, to ourselves, about how we deal with money. Again, my guest Jared's back. He was over with me on Living My Side Hustle. He's here today on Dad Space. We'll get him here again for another podcast because, you know, that's what we do. Jared, welcome back to the podcast. Welcome to Dad Space.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm excited to share and talk about dad stuff. It's great.
Good. Can you let everybody know, A, where you are in the world, and B, tell us a little bit about your dad's story, your family, whatever you can share with us. It'd be great.
Great. So I'm actually in the Salt Lake area in Utah, in the United States. And my dad's story, well, I'm a father of three. So my right now I have a 6-year-old daughter, I have a 14-year-old daughter, and I have almost a 17-year-old son. He turned 17 this month. So yeah, they've been fun. It's been a lot of fun, to say the least.
Okay. Great. That sounds like a great family. Anything's come to mind as we think about the idea of money in regards to teaching our children and kind of leading by example as a dad? How important is it to you with your kids into that age group now where money means something to them a little bit more than when they were tiny and they didn't really understand the concept? As your kids grow up, how important is it for you as a dad to demonstrate a healthy love and appreciation for the proper way to use money? Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, totally. So I've gone through some challenge, some phases in the last, you know, 15, 17 years or so. I worked at Walmart before I became an entrepreneur and started investing in real estate and have other businesses. I was 100% working at Walmart, working 60, 70 hours a week. I was at the store level, management salary. And so for the first 12 years of my son's life, in fact, I remember when my wife was going into labor for our first son, as I was checking my wife in, she was like having contractions and everything. And I'm like, first time dad and frantic. Walmart called me and says, "Hey, can you come to orientation tomorrow?" I'm like, "No, I can't." Like, how about next week? Okay, yeah, let's do that. Yeah. So they grew up from the get-go. Since my son was born, I was working at Walmart. And so just me not being there, I mean, they kind of had a different, because I was working so much. I mean, I was gone all the holiday times. And so that they got the mindset, that's what dad does. He just works 24/7. And, you know, if he's not here at Christmas, because he's providing for the family. So, and we lived in a scarcity mindset, to say the least. You know, we were just, we weren't hurting financially. We weren't thriving either.
Right.
We were pretty much paycheck to paycheck. I mean, we would have a little bit, we had a small nest egg when I would get a bonus from Walmart when we did really good at the store, but it really wasn't enough to go on really fancy trips. Like the biggest trips we ever did as a family was like, we went to Disneyland one time. And that was just like, you know, scraping and saving to do something like that. And so early on, they had that vision of kind of scarcity mindset. They had a vision like, so when I talked to them about, you need to get good grades, right? Because education was important to me. Yeah. Get good grades so you can get a good job. So then you can work for 40, 50 years and then retire on 40% of your income. And that was what I was taught. You know, I mean, I didn't necessarily go to school. I just went into working right away because I started my family quite early. But that was the lessons I was teaching them. And when I jumped from entrepreneur mindset or from employee mindset to entrepreneur mindset, things have dramatically changed the last 6 years of the relationship with my kids and how they see and how I see just finances just in general. So I can go in more detail on that.
Let's keep going. I love this. Keep going.
Yeah. So it was a huge paradigm. And me and my wife, we took this journey together, you know, which is phenomenal. My wife, just in general, she was born and raised in Mexico. We met here, but her family is very entrepreneur. It's very common, especially in Mexico, to you walk down the street, you see like every other house has their own little store out of their garage where you go buy cookies or whatever, right? So it's very common to have your own business, your own hustle. And so my wife already had that in her. She already knew like that's, if you need to make money, start a business, you know? Yeah. And so, but for me, it was a lot different because my grandparents, they were entrepreneurs. They failed. And the thing is, they quit after that, which is, I think, was a mistake. And so my parents were terrified, and they knew they would always kind of down. They never said, don't be a business owner, but they would have those comments like, oh, this is that business is never, when someone starts something, it's like, oh, that's never going to work. It's going to fail.
Right.
Cause that's in brain. And so I took that in. So being an entrepreneur was like, definitely not something I even wanted to do. So when we started this, started to invest in real estate, started to do fix and flips, getting rentals, wholesaling, got a shorter term fix and flip. It really kind of opened my mind as far as like, it's what Jim Rohn says, profits are much better than wages. And I learned that firsthand, you know, because I would put in 60 hours in 1 week at Walmart, and I'd be pulling in from that 1 week, maybe $600 take home. Wow. And then I put in 10 hours into this one deal and I make 10 grand. So
that's a considerable difference. Yes.
It's a big difference. Yeah. I'll say, yeah, absolutely. You know? And so like, oh wow. Like I need you don't have to trade your time for money. I can do these things. So I'm kind of going through these changes and we're very active talking to our kids. We have a tradition where we kind of get together on Monday nights and we try to teach our kids something, you know, whether that's about religion, about our Heavenly Father or whatever, or like the business lesson I've learned that week or something like that.
Wow.
And so now they're, as we are discovering the different ways to make money and different way to think of things, think of money, think of finances, we're sharing our aha moments, you know, with our kids and having conversations with them. And one thing that happened without me even realizing it, that my son, when he was probably, he was like 13 or so, he's 17 now. When he's 13, 14, he's talked to his mom. He's like, hey mom, there's this phone for $80, but this other website, they're selling it for like 150. Can you buy this phone and let me try to sell on this other website? And my wife's like, she's smart too. Like, okay, I'm going to invest in your business. If you want something you want to do, and I'll give you this money, but all the profits, I get 10%. So that's what my wife did for my son.
I love it.
She's smart. She's smart. She likes that. But that's good for him to realize, like, just because of your parents, and obviously my wife didn't need that 10%, but it's kind of like, okay, you want someone to help you. Let's do an equity deal. Let's do something to help, you know, help each other. And so so he started to do that. He would buy a bunch of phones and then he would sell them. And then it's like he's making profits, you know? And then now he goes to thrift stores and he's buying used clothes and anything with a good brand on it or that looks good. He'll just put it on other websites, on eBay and everything else. And he's making money that way. So, I mean, his mindset is dramatically changed. Excuse me. His mindset's completely changed from where it was, from like, oh yeah, I got to go to school, get a job, and then retire. And hopefully my nest egg, my money I have saved up lasts long enough that I die before the money runs out.
Yeah.
Which is insane when you think about it. Cause I didn't even put that in context until someone told me that. It's like, wait a minute, that's true. We put money in 401ks. And once we die, we stop contributing to that. And now we're like hoping that money is, we die before that money runs out. That's our hope, which is insane.
It's kind of like that sand clock, right? And all the sand's kind of flowing and you're like, oh, I hope I make it. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, the idea is like, I want to live it till I'm 110, but like, if I finance is only to my 90, like now what am I going to do? You know, I mean, and if I have all my money in my stock market, it's like, okay, what happens if a crash happens? Like people in 2008, if they want to retire then, when it crashed, like I can't retire right now because my retirement's like got hacked. So I can't afford to retire. I have to work another 10 more years for it to go back up.
Yeah.
So teaching our kids this and like you don't need a job, you just need income. And that's been kind of like our family motto. Like if you want income, that's fine. If you want to have income through a job, that's fine too. Right. There's nothing wrong with that either. But it's different mindset as far as looking at money and using the opportunities we have, especially being in the Western society that we live in. The opportunities we have are endless. It's just the act of us wanting to do it and having that goal and vision is the only thing that's stopping us.
Okay, so before we go down even more talk around money, I want to jump back to your Monday nights, your family things. I'd like to get a little more background on A, how that started, and if you can give me a couple examples of some of the things you guys do as a family on your Monday nights. It's a great lesson for people listening, I think.
They're like, absolutely.
As a new dad, I want to start this right now. And I'm going to use Jared's example to help formulate that for my family. So for the dad listening, what do we do? How did you set it up?
So my church, I'm a member of a church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Yeah.
Some people like to call us Mormons, but that's not our name.
Yeah.
Our Jesus Christ is the foundation of our church, right?
Yeah.
So there's a teaching in there that it's called family home evening, where Monday nights, and if you can't do Monday nights, you know, another night, whatever, but you get together and mostly it's designed for teaching about Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ, right? Mm-hmm. Teaching about being a good person. Even if you're not religious, that's fine. But it's about teaching, giving your family and uniting each other and teaching each other, you know, lessons. Like my son will teach 1 week and then my wife or something like that. Nice. So it's based on a religious theme, but when we have those aha moments, we bring it up during that time. So we talk about the deal that I've done, or like the lesson that I learned of like, oh man, I wish I didn't do this transaction because it ended up, we were going to lose money because of this. And so we're fairly open as far as like what we're doing on financially wise. Like I think we should be open with our kids. As far as even if we're struggling, it's just like, you know what, we're just like, I'll be broke sometimes, but I'll never be poor. Mm-hmm. And when we are having a downturn, and because life happens, right? Especially when we first started, we didn't have, you know, what we have now. It's completely different. I didn't have the businesses, the consistent revenue, the consistent cash flow. I didn't have that. So there was times when we were broke. But and if someone looked at my balance sheet, they're gonna say, oh, you're poor. Like, no. I'm broke. Broke's temporary. Poor is a mindset. You know, and right. I can be broke and still have a rich person's mindset.
Yeah.
Because that means I'm not staying broke. That's just a momentarily thing. And so that's something that we talk about in those events, in those Monday, the family home meetings.
Yeah.
It's just like, what can we do? What can we do better? What lessons? What did you learn at school? And it opens up a communication. A safe space for kids to even talk about stuff too. So
yeah
it was just a religious theme. And then we kind of made it a Brenchley own, you know, just kind of stuff that we do. So it's fun.
Love it. It's great. It's a great example for everyone to create that and make it a pattern for your family, as something to look forward to.
Right.
And as our kids get older, they start to pull away from us. They get busy with life and their friends and other things and sports and whatever. And those nights seem to get put aside because they're not convenient. Right. But the fact that you guys have that, that's so smart. I'm so happy that you mentioned that. I really wanted to kind of highlight that as an important part of our conversation.
Right.
So when you think back to the hamster wheel days of working a lot of hours for the same pay that you would have got if you work less hours, you kind of were giving and giving and giving in a retail environment. What kind of lessons do you think you were teaching your kids in those days that maybe weren't the best lesson to teach them now that you look back in hindsight?
That's a great question. I think I was teaching them but through action, and I was teaching that you have to, in order to pay for bills, to have a house, to just be okay, you got to work like nonstop. You got to be willing to sacrifice all of your holidays, all of the family times. Now we did go on vacations. There were small camping trips here and there, things like that, but it was nothing like we would always want. But it was still, they're still great. I would not downplay them by any means. But I think what they were learning was like, it's kind of like what they say, like it's in the Matrix. Like you go to school and you're told to sit down and shut up and don't talk to your neighbor. Okay. That's what you're told. And then listen to the instructor, listen to the teacher. And then that's it. And then you're going to middle school, high school. And then like, okay, now you got, if you want a really good job, if you don't want to be a deadbeat, you need to go to college and go into debt, $90,000 to $100,000. Otherwise it's not going to be good for you.
Right.
And it's like, okay, great. So I'm going to So that's just like the matrix. It's what that everyone's taught that, like not even trade schools, nothing like that. Like even trade school for some reason on a norm is like frowned upon, which I think it's terrible. Worst thing that happened, honestly.
Yeah.
So it's that's what I was teaching my kids, because that's what all I knew. And it wasn't until I started to hang around other people that had different mindsets. I got to connect it to this real estate investing group. And that's where I learned how to invest in real estate. That's how I learned how to use other people's money, how to analyze numbers, everything. And I absorb their mindset. It's if you want to change, you have to change the people around you.
Right.
You know, and that's something I tell my kids too. Like your friend group is the most important decision you'll make in your entire life, especially right now. I tell my daughter, especially, like the people that you choose to be your friends are going to affect your entire life. And it's for her, it's like, well, she still doesn't quite get that. You know, the what you surround yourself with is what you're going to become.
Yeah.
And I think that was the lesson I was teaching them. But now it's like with my 6-year-old, all she knows is the entrepreneur dad.
Interesting. Right? That's
all she knows.
Interesting. Yeah.
So her vision in life is I can already tell it's different. So it's for her, it's normal to, oh, we're going to go and look at dad's property. We're going to look at one of his Airbnbs. Like let's go help clean it, dad. Great. Awesome. My cleaner canceled. So guess what? We're going to clean it. Come with me, honey. And so we'll go and it's normal for her, for the dad to have more than one property, to have 15 units running around across the Salt Lake Valley. But for like when I was growing up, like that'd have been insane. Like what, you have more than one property? What is that? Why would you do that? You know, it whole a complete different mindset that my 6-year-old has compared to even my older kids. Like they're smart and they catch on. Like, okay, this is a good way to do it. Like my son wants to be a pilot, but he told me he wants to buy one rental every single year to have that's his retirement, right? He's going to buy one rental every single year. And I was like, I want to kiss you. That's amazing. That's a great idea, son.
That's awesome.
Let's get you set up so you can do something like that. And I even got, we have things in place even as I build the generational wealth, as we're getting more and more properties. Cause I don't want to, in 100 years when I die, because I plan to live to 140. I just decided just now.
Okay, good.
In 100 years when I die, I don't want them to be trust fund babies.
Right.
You know, that's something I don't necessarily want. I want to have generational wealth, but I want them to build it on their own too at the same time. So right. What me and wife, what we're doing, and again, this is maybe a little bit veering off topic a bit, but what we're doing, we're setting up a trust where our kids and the future generation, so they're going to have an investment, so the trust should be growing as well, right? Where anyone that has the Brenchley name that's on my bloodline, they can come in and get a business loan.
Wow.
And it's low interest, but they still have to pay it back. And so the person that's over the trust has to approve it. It's just like, yeah, I want $300,000 to run a popsicle stand. Like, yeah, you're not doing a business loan. That's not a business loan. Like, so they need to have like a business plan. They need to have an actual, you know, something that makes sense. So it has to be like you go to a bank. So now they have somewhere where they can go. And I want to encourage my generations to be entrepreneurs. To be self, wow. Be independent from yes. A job, from the government, whatever. I want them to have their own streams of income. And it could be if they want to get a loan for rental properties. Like, great. Awesome. We can definitely do that. We can set that up where it's like those things. So they have the ability to get education without getting into massive debts. But it's not like I want a loan to buy a Lamborghini or to buy a mansion. That's not how that works. And they have to pay it back. Like there's going to be amortization on it. There's going to be some interest on it, you know, not crazy, probably like very little, but still something that's enough bite that they have that I gotta make this work. Otherwise it's done for. And they, you know, so that's what we're trying to do is we want generations of very wealthy Brenchleys, but they're self-made.
Nice.
With a little bit of help.
That's a great idea to keep that story going. Right. Again, yeah, you don't want your children just to inherit this a bunch of properties and a bunch of money and they don't have any business skills or any idea of how to grow it. And then it just stops in their generation. That's it. Like, that's not the idea from this. I like that you have a future plan beyond even your current family into the future. That's
exactly.
Yeah, I don't hear a lot of people talking like this. And that's what I love. So smart.
Yeah. And I wish I would, I wish that was my idea, but I heard that from a mentor of mine. I'm like, dude, that's like, that's Jared's now, you know, that's the beauty of working with people that are levels ahead of you, you know, and that's the beauty of that. Right. And that was what fear of mine. Once we started making money, because before I had that conversation with one of my mentors about that, and he gave me this idea. And me and my wife, we built upon that. It's like, I don't want my kids to have that. Like, I want to give them generation wealth, but I want them to be entitled. I don't want them to, you know, most millionaires, the percentage wise, they're self-made. Mm-hmm. There's a small percentage, despite what everyone believes. But if you look at the facts, there's a small portion of them where they're inherited. Because the thing is, once they inherited, they just spend the money and they lose it. And their next generation, they're like, now they're broke.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's not contusive. There's few families out there that have like literally generational wealth. And they do stuff like this. Like they want them to be self-sufficient.
Exactly. I love that you've expanded the generational wealth idea beyond just the next generation and then it ends. Right. I love that you've extended it past there. For a dad listening today that is maybe not been the best with money on a personal level before they were married,
right,
on their own as a single guy, they weren't good with money, but now they're the leader of their home and the example in their home of how to do money properly. What are some of the things that you would suggest to a dad to speak into their lives of their children when they're growing up, either by example or through words? What kind of things would you encourage dads to do, like this week, as an example for their kids? What kind of conversation should we have, and what should we talk about?
Right, I think most people would have conversations with their kids or stranger kids or people. One of the most common questions people ask is, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" And that attention to that question is like, "What kind of job do you want when you grow up? I want to be a police officer, I want to be a pilot, I want to do whatever." That's the wrong question we should ask our kids. The right question we should be asking our kids is not so much what kind of job, what kind of life do you want? What does that entail? Ask them and have them paint you, maybe not physically, but like, you know, paint you a vision of what they really want. Like, do you want like a bigger house? What would you think you would be? Like, oh, I just want a, you know, house where I have my kids and, you know, when I have my kids and they can have their own room and maybe even like I want a horse. Like, I don't know, whatever it is. Right. And have them paint that out for you, like the type of life that they want. And then I would have another conversation with them like, okay, cool. So if you want to have X, Y, and Z, if you want to have a mansion, because our kids have huge dreams. Cause here's something else too. I want us to kind of think, cause when I'm talking to people and helping people is mentoring them along the way, I always ask them, what are their dreams? What are they looking for? And when we're kids, we have this huge dream. And this, it'll go with the question what I'm getting with. But so we have this huge dream. Like, I want to have a mansion. I want to have a horse. I want to have whatever it is, right? But then our salary is this big.
Yeah.
So as people listening, it's like, you know, so big. And then our salary is a lot smaller. And so what happens over time, we start erasing our dreams to fit our salary.
Mm.
So when we're talking to our kids, we want them to paint their dreams. All right, what kind of salary is James, my son, going to need to fit that dream?
Yeah.
Okay, great. James, so if you want to have this type of life, you need to have at least $150,000 annually coming in, whether it's passively or through actionable things. So having that conversation and painting a real picture and a vision of what they can do. Okay, if you want this lifestyle, you need to do X, Y, and Z to achieve it. So having those conversations with your kids and just painting it differently can start them visualizing it, especially at an early age, is phenomenal. Visualizing what they want to accomplish as they grow up and what kind of life they want, not so much what kind of job they want, because a job can be taken away from you. My son, he wants to be a pilot. He wants to travel the world. He can get a job at airlines and then something can happen. Whether that's automated pilots, I don't know, that could happen, right? And now he doesn't have that job. So his entire identity is gone now? No, I want him to have that lifestyle and then whatever he needs to do to get that lifestyle or that dream. So then if he loses that job, like, okay, I could still get my dream or continue living the life that I want. Just, I'm just going to pivot and do this thing now. What's still going to give me that same goal.
I like it. Okay. Then is there anything that you've demonstrated to your kids in the past, mm-hmm. based on your knowledge of the time, that now you think differently about, and you've had to kind of go back to your kids and say, okay, update here. It's Monday night. Let's have a conversation. Dad and mom used to believe this, and we live this way, but now we've learned something new, and now we believe this. Mm-hmm. And we want to update everyone so we're all on the same page. We're now going left when we used to go right, and we've made a change. We like this new path better, and we've learned something new. How do you translate that to your kids when they know you as one way, and then, like again, Walmart, for example, and now you're doing real estate? That's a completely different world. How do you bring them along in a big change within your family so that your kids understand and see the growth happening right in front of them? What kind of conversation do you have with them?
That's a great question. And we've done that in multiple things, on multiple subjects, where we're talking college, for example. I have nothing against college and getting a higher education. I have nothing against that whatsoever. But before, I think colleges can be a great tool for people that need to do it, right? So before my Walmart days, I would preach to my kids, like James, I didn't really give him a chance or choice. It was like, you're going to college. I didn't go to college. You know, your grandpa, he was a mechanic his entire life. I'm a Walmart associate. I want you to have a better life. You're going to go to college. Right. So that was like kind of like wagging my finger. This is what you got to do. Yeah. And I thought that was like me being a good parent. And it's not necessarily bad advice by any means, but the thing is, I think college is great if it's a degree that's actually going to give you what you're looking for. I can't tell you how many people go to college just to go to college. They're drunk at stone halfway through. They build great relationships, which is important, and they learn things on the way, absolutely. But a lot of the English majors, they don't use their degree for nothing. It's just an item line on a resume. That's all it is. And they went into $80,000 in debt to get that line item. And unfortunately, right now, the price for college and the value you get out of it has the price has risen, but the value has not risen to that same level. And I think most people, if they're objectively, they look at it, they could agree. So, but my son, he's looking at going to the medical field too, right? He's kind of weighing all his options, like pilot, medical field. And like, that's awesome, man. Then you definitely need to go to college. Like, that's okay. That's the only option for you. If that's what you want to do, if that's what you want to do for a living, to get your dream life. And so for this, to have a different conversation where it's like, you know what, James, I don't want you and my daughter soon. Like, but I don't want you to feel like you have to go to college. I was thinking that college is the only way to go. And I had to be a little bit, open with them, you know, let them know that dad doesn't have all the answers and I'm learning as I go. So having those conversations, whether that's like we're driving to a soccer tournament, it's gonna be an hour drive. And that's when we have a lot of our heart to hearts. That's just when just me and him, we're just driving. It just gives me a great opportunity to, you know, tell him to unplug his headphones for once and just have conversations with him about how he feels, what he wants. And so we have those conversations where it's like, I know I said that you got to go to college, but I think that should still be on the table. But if it's not going to lead you to where you want to be, then don't, that's the worst idea you can do. So telling them that you have to do it, as opposed to it could be the worst thing you can ever do, is a totally different conversation. And it's just being open and vulnerable. Like, this is what I was taught by, I found out by more successful people and from my own life lessons that it's not necessarily needed to have that dream life.
I can just see the two of you in the car having these conversations, and the radio's off or whatever and quiet, and you're just having those moments. Those moments are gone. Like in a few years from now, think of where he's going to be and where you're going to be. And he might not even be in the same city as you. He might be somewhere, wherever, doing whatever, right? So those, I try to encourage dads whenever I meet a new dad is, listen, you get 16, 17, 18 summers.
That's it.
That's it. and that's it. You know, like, make the most of them. They're going to go by so quick. So speak into your kids' lives, give them opportunities to learn from you. Learn from your, I wouldn't say your path was a mistake, but learn from your lessons that you learned, right? And help them see you grow. You're growing. Let them see you grow. And don't be ashamed of that, but put it on display. You know,
absolutely.
Explain what you've learned and how you're different. That's a great lesson for your kids to see that your parents are growing. They don't have all the answers and are perfect.
Exactly. I mean, having those heart to hearts, and you're right, it's limited. My son, he's turning 17 this month. He's starting his senior year in high school. And so next year, he's looking at colleges. Like, he's still kind of weighing whether he wants to be like an actual commercial pilot or actually go into the medical field. So he's kind of figuring out what he wants to do, because both of those can give him the life that he wants. So he's kind of weighing on what he wants to do. So, but he's going to be gone. Like, whether that, and he wants to travel the world, he wants to do these things. So it's going to be me having those heart to heart moments it's very, very limited when you think about it. And after he grows up, and it kind of makes me excited and sad at the same time,
right?
Where he's going to be on his own. He's going to be a man. I mean, I still have a few more summers with my daughters, which is phenomenal. You know, I want to teach them what kind of a man they should be looking for. What kind of a spouse, what kind of wives and mothers they should be, what kind of financial situation they should put themselves into. And so having those conversations, and I've admittedly made a gazillion mistakes with my kids. You know, my kids aren't perfect. I'm not perfect. My daughter, especially, she's really had a hard time. And so having those heart to heart moments has really been key, and trying to keep that open communication, that's been massively important for us.
Great. I love when we can demonstrate our humanity to our kids.
Yeah.
You know, take some of that mystique away of these adults in my life. They're perfect and they expect perfection from me as their kid. And I make mistakes and I'm always afraid that I'm going to disappoint my parents. At the same time, as dads, we're thinking the exact same thing. I hope I don't disappoint you as a dad. Right. So if they only knew that when they were little, right, I think it would have been a big moment for them to understand that. The one thing before we go, Jared, is you help people post retail world now in a totally different avenue of life to get off the hamster wheel, make a change, and build up this generational wealth you talk about, and carve a new path in life financially. Can you talk a little bit about what you do? Because there's dads listening today that are dreading punching in for their next shift and feeling like they're not making any progress in life. And they want that thing. They want that next thing that's going to just expand their family's wealth and bring them some freedom, some happiness they haven't had. Can you talk a little bit about what you do? Because I'm going to put links to all that in the show notes.
Yeah.
And all the other podcasts I have you on, we're going to talk about there as well. But for dads specifically, talk to the dad that's struggling to find his purpose. Where they are in life is not where they want to be, and they want to do something better. And working with you and learning from you as an example could change their world and change their family. So talk to us about that.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Something I've really kind of focused on this last year is after we kind of passive income coming in where all our expenses are taken care of, I've been able to have a lot more time, freedom, and helping other people achieve similar things what I've done, or if not more. That's been a huge passion for me. And for those dads were in the same situation where I was in when I was working at Walmart, and I brought up my son James a lot, but I did not see my son James open up his Christmas presents until he was 12.
Wow.
I did not see that. And I tell you what, after that, after I finally quit Walmart and was able to be there, seeing them come down the stairs and so excited to see Santa Claus and it's magical. I mean, it is the definition of magical, of seeing their expression. They're just like, just joy, even though it's kind of a ruse of Santa Claus and everything, but it's still so much fun. And I miss so much of that. So if anyone I don't think most people can be there for their kids, you know, most jobs allow that, but those that just want to be there for more of their kids' life and to know where to help them. They can reach out to me. We can kind of sit down and see how we can, if we even can help each other or not. Right. There's this really cool story of, so Jose, he's an amazing kid. He started with us, he signed up with his mom and he's 16 and he started to learn about real estate. And so when he was in high school, he was literally analyzing deals in middle English class. And like, he was texting the realtors and he couldn't, obviously he's under 18, so couldn't even do any transactions. So all his transactions was under his mom. And so he learned how to raise money. He learned how to find the deals. And so this kid, before he turned 18, he's done, I think it was like 16 fix and flips. And he told me it was the funniest thing. Like, he was talking to here in the US, we have like the career counselors. And the career counselor, like, so what do you want to do with your life? And he's like, I'm doing real estate. And the counselor was like, well, I don't know, is that a really good way? And he's like, how much do you make a year? And he probably could have done this a little better, but it was still kind of fun to hear about the story. But how much do you make a year? It's like, well, I made that this last month. And the counselor, what? You did what? And him having that conversation, I mean, it's the coolest thing ever. So, but helping his mom getting started and getting him into it was just amazing. It's a really cool experience to see single moms and dads just like totally change their lives around, where they're like, they turn the side hustle into the main hustle, or they get a side hustle so just they can have a better experience with their kids. So I kind of help plug people in the same system that I got started and learned. And it's like as much or as little handholding as you want to find out your dreams. We're not going to be talking too much about real estate investing at first. It's going to be like, what do you want to do for a living? What's your dream life? What's that picture? What's that dream that you had before? Okay, cool. So you want to have this, this, and this. Let's figure out a plan. What's going to take you to get there? What kind of income do you need for that? So you can live that dream. So you can go to Cancun with your kids. You can have whatever the dream is, right? So you can start having those times where you can't sit in the car, taking your son to whatever tournament they're going to, right? And then just have those conversations. So yeah, I kind of word vomited a little bit, but that's kind of what we do in a nutshell. Is just like, let's look at your dream. What do you want to accomplish? And if you don't know what your dream is, that's okay. So what's the next step? Like, maybe you just want to quit your job. That could be your dream. Okay, cool. Let's figure that out. Let's see if it makes sense. It might not, and that's okay too. So anyone can just reach out to me. And also my social media is on the same. So it's linktree.com/askjared. So ASK and then Jared, JARED. And then you can book a call. We can do just a quick little 9-minute conversation. See if we can help you or not. You know, what we can do to get you to where you want to be, right? Be the parent you want to be.
Amazing. I love it. So everything will be in the show notes for everyone to do that. And the reason why I wanted you to talk about that here on Dad Space is because we did have you on Living My Side Hustle. We're going to have you over on Living the Next Chapter. Many, many podcasts going on. But there's a little piece of the conversation is a little different in each episode. So Absolutely. If you listen to all three together, you're going to get a lot of Jared, which is great. This is what you need in life, is a little more Jared. But you can get a nice picture when we talk about all three different elements of what we're talking about here. And I just know as a dad that if I had had a conversation with you years ago with the knowledge you have right now, and if I had met you in the past, my life would have been different. Because I could have learned from you and I could have maybe had a different path and a different, it could have been a little bit easier for me because I have been stuck in that hamster wheel mentality and thinking I have enough just to get by. It's a great visual what you said about having bigger dreams than your bank account, bigger dreams than your paycheck, and erasing all the dreams that don't fit into that paycheck.
Right.
That's a great visual to think about. And I think there's a lot of dads that are content with just erasing everything that doesn't fit. Right. And then giving their best to their family. And then whatever's left over might come to them as a dad. And we put ourselves on the back burner so much that working with you and understanding how you approach your finances and generational wealth, I think we can learn a lot.
Well, and it's sad how we're living in a society, the Western society, where the opportunity to achieve those dreams are easier than it has been in any period of time ever. I don't care what anyone says. The facts that you can achieve your dreams if you want it. And we're so, I talk to people about the dreams all the time. So like, and they just don't have those dreams anymore. My other friend that Nancy, I used to be her boss. She worked at Walmart together. And she started to coach with me. And she told me, like, Jared, I finally have been able to dream again. And that was, I was almost in tears when she told me that. I just kind of like, cause she was just like you said, like, I'm going to go my job, and if anything's left over, cool, that's great. But normally there's nothing left over. But now she's actually starting to dream, because our first conversation wasn't like, it was getting her husband away from her, the truck driving jobs and be home. But now it's like, no, I don't just want that. I want this. And now it's actual possible to do all the things she wanted. So it's really cool. I flipping houses is amazing. I can flip 100 houses and have be fine. But I'd rather change 100 people's lives. That's why I've just changed my focus. It's been amazing.
Love it. So any dad listening, I would encourage you to reach out to Jared, book some time with him, have a conversation, and just pick his brain, because my interactions with him on this podcast and the other ones has been amazing. So he gives, and that's what I love. When you find somebody amazing in life that can help you, you need to reach out. You need to get off your butt and go and contact Jared and spend some time with him. So I encourage you to do that. All the information's in the show notes. And I would love to hear some success stories from dads who have reached out to you, Jared, and had the conversation, and something different has changed. A new path just by having a conversation with somebody who's doing it. I'm looking forward to hearing those comments coming back.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Amazing. So everyone, go check out all the show notes. Jared, thank you for making time to be here on Dad Space. And looking forward to having you on Living the Next Chapter and on and on and on and on. Thank you so much for being here.
Great. Thanks for having me. It's been a blast. I love it.
Awesome. Hey, thanks for listening to Dad Space today. I'm so thankful that you were here for this episode. If you like the show, please let another dad know. Hey, that kind of rhymed. Anyways, share the episode out with somebody in your circle who would love Dad Space. That means so much to us here, for our guests who donate their time to be on the show. And we just want to see this grow. So, again, another rhyme. Oh, wow. Anyhow, think I need to write a song or something. Thank you for being here with Dad Space. And again, looking forward to the next episode. Look forward to having you here again with us. And if we can help you in any way, if you have a great guest idea for the show, a topic that you would love us to cover, we would love to do that here on Dad Space. So thanks for listening, and thanks for being part of the community. And to you, Dad, thank you for listening, and thank you for sharing Dad Space. Catch you on the next one. Take care.